Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ear. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go. We're all working.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, psychologist, along with psychotherapist Hughes Craft and couples therapist David Sanford. And we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of love, life, and the search for a decent relationship. And today we may not be joined toward the end of the hour, in the half hour, by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services. He's had an emergency come up, so we may have to wait till next week for some cutting edge brain research, which he calls A Minute on the Mind. So here we are, and the topic today is fair and unfair expectations of your partner. So I've got my darn guys with me. Hello, David. Hello, Hughes.
Hi, Jim. Are you there?
I'm there, buddy. You there? Are you?
Yeah, but
there?
I. Okay. All right.
I'm here too. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, David.
Good morning,
guys.
Hughes.
Good morning.
All right. So, the topic is fair and unfair expectations of your partner. What can we reasonably expect, or what is unreasonable to expect from your partner? You want to start, David?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Jim.
Okay.
I think a place to start maybe could be this. Most people, when they get together, either get married or move in together, take the relationship really seriously. Very few people, I think, in that position actually sit down together and talk about what their expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great difficulties that people get into in marriage and serious relationships is that expectations that were never shared between the two of them, but assumed that the other one knew about and agreed with, in due course sort of pop up in the relationship and cause all sorts of difficulty.
Right.
I've even known people, couples, in a counseling session where one of them practically screams at the other, "You're not the person I married."
Right.
I think if you guys agree with me or don't agree with me, that's a place to start before we get into specific expectations. Do people
right.
share often, or do they keep them often, assume them, or just keep them to themselves?
Mm-hmm. Good start.
Thoughts?
Good point.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think that's a big word.
Say again, Hughes.
I don't know if you guys can hear me very well. I'm playing with my mic.
We can hear you fine. We can hear you fine. Go ahead.
I think you hit one of the buzzwords there, David, assuming. You know, everybody's kind of got a context of what their partner should be, at least in their own mind, and it differs from what the partner actually is or who they may actually be. And, you know, there's a big difference between the two places there, and to actually sit down and have a conversation around that is not one of those things that is part of the early dating routine, I think.
Yeah, I think one of the expectations that partners can have each other that's unfair is mind reading. You know, you're supposed to know what I'm feeling. You're supposed to know what I want. You're supposed to anticipate my needs and so forth. And that can lead to a lot of trouble. And, I hear people, in my office saying, he should just know. Or she should just know what I need. The most amazing one I had was way back when I had a couple come in, and he was really angry and upset because she did not know or did not put salt and pepper on the table at dinner. And I asked him if he'd ever you know, told her that that was important to him, and he said, no, she should just know that if she loved me, she would be doing that kind of thing. So, as you can see, my work was cut out for me there.
And in reality, what then? If we all agree that people get in a lot of trouble when they assume agreement on expectation.
Sure, I think communication is the key, as you guys were pointing out earlier, to actually sit down and talk about what you're expecting, what you want, what you need, and have a discussion about whether your partner is interested in fulfilling those needs or not. I think then comes the discussion and some compromises. You know, your partner may not be willing to meet or fulfill those expectations, so you have to figure out what to do then. You know.
And go ahead.
What is an idea of a fair expectation that one can put upon another? You know, what would be the idea of a fair expectation?
A fair expectation, I think, is when you've asked somebody to do something, and they have agreed, yes, I will do that. Mm-hmm. And a fair expectation is that unless you hear differently from them, whatever it was that they agreed to do is going to get done.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point.
And yet people get into trouble all the time around that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also a fair expectation that your partner take the relationship seriously, show up to the relationship, be willing to talk about differences and difficulties. I think those are fair expectations.
You're looking right. Are you looking for other fair expectations?
I don't know.
I'm looking for whatever you want to contribute. So, give me what you got.
Okay.
Well, the relationships are always changing, though. I mean, and the expectations are always changing. It sounds like a big job staying on top of expectations. And I think a lot of relationships get in trouble because expectations are, you know, they're just something that I'm holding towards my partner without really kind of being clear and communicating that a lot. You know, and I think sometimes expectations lead to a lot of frustrations and resentments in relationships.
Right. And I think that... Wait a minute.
It ain't your turn. It's my turn.
Hey.
That's the expectation.
It's my turn.
Yeah. I got an expectation here, and that is that we're going to make an effort to take turns.
Okay.
Too much work. So go.
I am. I think the difficulty, one of the reasons that there is this difficulty, which is so understandable that maybe people often don't think of it, is that when two people meet, and they meet as strangers the first time, and they often come from different cultures. Even if they don't come from different cultures, they come from different families that have different customs. They come from different relationships out of which they have gotten their own expectations. And it seems to me almost inevitable that given those circumstances, that if people are going to be open with each other, that their expectations are going to collide unless they're treated in a specific way. Which is differences, not expectations so much as differences that we need to talk about in a sort of neutral way, assuming that there are differences of history or culture or whatever it might be, and together we've got to reach some that we can agree on and let the others go.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, we've got an active audience today, so let me go to a caller and see what they're interested in talking about. Hello, caller from 631 area code. What would you like to?
Well, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to give a scenario. I'm in a relationship with a man with whom I have three children with, and we're not married. And a lot of times our differences keep coming up, and it really poses a problem in our relationship. Because, like, for instance, we have three children. We need, I have another child from a previous marriage. So we have four children. So we recently invested in a car. We knew that we needed to invest in a minivan, actually. But he saw this a Mustang convertible online. And he just went crazy and really wanted the convertible. And that wasn't the right thing to do. This is what he wanted. He was just so taken aback by this Mustang. All of the rational and the right things to think about as far as the family just went out the window. And there was no convincing him, look, this is not what we need to do. I'm more practical. We need a minivan. He went and brought the Mustang. To this day, I'm so angry. I'm so angry, and I keep voicing it because now I'm going to sell the Mustang now because it wasn't the right thing to do, and there was no talking. But our differences can't come up where I'm practical and he's an impulsive buyer.
You and your partner, do you have any understandings about how that kind of a situation ought to be handled? And have you ever just talked about, look, when one of us wants something, we need to do what? I mean, is there any understanding?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm. No, not unless there's an absolute emergency, then, you know, usually I'm the one who has to make all the decisions, you know, but in this situation, you know, there was no understanding. I mean, what's right was to get what the family needs, not a show-off car.
Okay, so your expectation was that the family needs would come first, and
right.
His expectation was that he pretty much had a right to get whatever car he wanted.
Right.
Let me tell you, this actually hits somewhere close to home. When I was going to get a new car, I was thinking about getting a convertible. You're laughing.
And the darn guy budget didn't allow it.
What's that?
The darn guy
budget
didn't
allow
it.
That's right. That's right. I consulted with my darn guys, and they said, no way. No, actually, Stephanie and I talked about it, and her expectation was that I would get a car in which we could take the canoe on the top and, more back in the rough or off-road or something. She has a four-wheel drive. I ended up not getting the convertible. And actually, it was a compromise because I got a car that I liked that wasn't something that could go in the woods, but it could carry a canoe, and it could be used, you know, to go places. So we came to a kind of a win-win situation or something that was a compromise for both of us. And I think that's something that you might be needing to work out with your partner. How do you get to a win-win situation? Now, you said that you are now going to sell the Mustang, and is that a mutual decision, or is that something that you decided arbitrarily? Because he decided arbitrarily to get it. Are you deciding arbitrarily to get rid of it, or was that a decision that you made together?
That was my decision. That was my decision.
Okay, how is that different than him making a unilateral decision?
Because it benefits the family. If it benefits all of us, then it's a win-win situation. If it only the only way that we could fit all of, we can't fit everybody in a car. If one of the two of the children are not, I have three small children, and they all need car seats, and I have one big child. So if he and I are in the front seats, everybody can't sit in the back. It's made for two people. So, you know, I'm just so angry with him. And I just keep telling him that it was such a stupid idea. It was, you just don't do stupid things like this. It's just.
Okay. So, first of all, I would caution you not to use the word stupid. But, because that escalates that escalates the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And if selling the car is going to help you let go of your anger, then that would be okay. If you're going to still be angry, then you got to find some way to undo that anger and work through that anger. So anyway, thank you very much for the call, and we've got to move on. What about you guys?
I got another comment or two about what the caller said.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me she's got two issues. One of them immediate and one of them equally important, but not quite so immediate, maybe.
Yeah.
The immediate one is about the car versus the van. I mean, that's right. The immediate problem. Are they going to go to war about this, or is she going to go off and sell the car on her own and then deal with whatever consequences? The long-term issue is we need to make some rules about how decisions are going to be made. For example, such a rule would be something like this. Anything that costs more than $100, $200, whatever it is, has got to be discussed by both of us until we can reach some consensus on it or some compromise on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, every single issue that comes up of any importance, they're going to collide on this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Okay, good. You got any comments before we move on, Hughes?
No, I think David hit that one. You know, there's a couple issues at play here, and the biggest one is communication and just kind of really sitting down and hammering stuff out up front here.
Okay, great. Hey, listen, guys, we've also got a pretty active chat today with people writing in questions. So here's a question from a chatter, and it goes to what we were just talking about in a little bit different way. What determines whether expectations are fair or unfair, even if the partner doesn't think they're fair?
You mean under what conditions might an expectation really just on its own terms be fair, period? And a reasonable person would think that it wasn't fair.
Right.
Or that it was fair, rather.
I think one that was obvious to me is that the relationship has some priority, that people put time, effort, and work into the relationship. I think that's a fair expectation. If you're going to be in a relationship, that the person is really making that a priority. But I'm not sure I know the principle in terms of what determines whether an expectation is unfair or fair. You guys got any thoughts?
Yeah, I think the best way to approach this is that before they make a commitment to each other, they take up this particular question and see, or at least before they get married or before they move in together or whatever it might be, they take up this particular question and they see if they can agree on conditions in which an expectation is fair. And then a fair expectation is, you could say, a fair expectation is one that we agree was a fair expectation at the beginning of this relationship. And remember, I wrote it down, and I'm going to look in the desk drawer, and there it is.
Okay.
Really?
All right. But suppose we're down the line and we didn't do that. Is there any way to determine it now?
Yeah. I'd like to jump in on this. I'm thinking about the word of reciprocity. And if I have an expectation for my partner to not behave in a certain way, I certainly should live by the same rules. For example, you know, if I expect that my partner doesn't go out and fool around behind my back, I have those same rules for myself. But also if I expect my partner to clean up after themselves in the kitchen, do I have that same rule and obligation for myself? A little bit of reciprocity, you know, is there a fairness relative to the expectation that I hold for my partner, and do they hold the same for me?
Right.
Kind of lives in line with rulemaking.
Yeah,
I think that's quite true. I would agree.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Another question from the chat. Is it fair to expect your partner to stay in good physical condition? I'll start off with that one in that that hits home also. Stephanie expects me to be in pretty good shape and to eat well and to, you know, watch my physical health. And
you're so candid today.
and she says that if I don't and I have a stroke, she won't take care of me.
I've heard that same one, a variation on that from my wife.
Yeah. All right. So you're okay.
We could agree that that's an unfair expectation.
Right.
Couldn't we?
But if you do have a stroke, are you going to expect her to take care of you?
That's right.
That follows under the heading of consequences, and I think consequences ought to come into this discussion. You know, if we have an understanding, or we think we have an understanding, and you don't follow it, and there are consequences, a fair expectation is you don't expect me to clean up after it.
Yeah.
You know, if Stephanie says, I have an expectation that you will take care of yourself in such and such a way, and you take time and you think it over and you say, Stephanie, I agree with you. I think that's a fair expectation and I accept it. And then let's say you don't, and you get into some kind of God help you trouble, and then the consequences of it, I think, are yours to eat, so to speak.
Right.
You would agree, wouldn't you, on that one?
Yes, I would. Yeah. The other thing, you know, I think where this question might go is, do you expect your partner to be physically attractive to you by being in good physical condition, being in shape, not being overweight, losing that weight, generally, being aesthetically pleasing. Do you think that's a fair expectation or not a fair expectation?
I think it's not for us to decide. I think that's definitely one of a great many that ought to be settled by one partner saying, look, I got this expectation. Is it fair or not? And the other partner says, no, I don't think that's fair. And they really talk about it quite a bit. And still, the other partner says, no, I don't think that's fair. Well, then it isn't. It isn't fair.
And
it's not for us. There is no etiquette book. There's no etiquette book according to which questions like this can be or ought to be settled, I don't think.
Right.
Maybe there are.
Yeah. And what if the partner who's asking for the person to be in better shape for aesthetic reasons? It's really important to them. It's really a big issue. Is it fair for the other partner to say, I don't care that this is a big issue for you. It's a bigger issue for me to not have pressure on me, to not, you know, fulfill, you know, some cultural expectation of, you know, how much I should weigh or how I should look.
My guess on this one, and it's really good, I think, that we're talking about this. My guess on this one is that this is an issue. There are a number of others, sexuality being one of them. This is an issue that carries a great deal of symbolic weight for people. It's not an issue on the, you know, like, do we need more ice cream or not when you go to the store today? This is a kind of... At bottom, the issue for at least one person is, do you love and accept me as I am? Without conditions. Or do you only love and accept me if I weigh so much, you know, and I'm jogging four times a week or whatever it might be? So it's a very, very fundamental issue. And the lucky couple is able to be loving and accepting of each other to the degree that they can simply talk about this back and forth, not on the level of losing weight or being in shape, but on the deeper level of acceptance.
Right.
Very, very, you know, it's a scary thing because the deep issues are ones over which the relationship, you know, might not continue if we just can't come together at all.
Right.
So it's scary stuff.
But being in a relationship with somebody else and caring for them, can I have an expectation that they take care of themselves, that they make an effort to, you know, eat well and be the best that they can in the relationship in a caring way versus a way of expecting them to be a certain way for me?
Right.
You know,
I would say no. I would say no, you can't have that expectation, but you ought to voice the consequences. You ought to voice the
expectation. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, then it leads to free choice, right? No.
Right.
And the consequence can be big. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot that can get attached to that. But yeah, I hear you, Dave. I certainly hear you. So,
A couple things.
There are.
We just have a few minutes to go. And I just want to let you know that our caller that we talked to earlier was also on the chat, and she said thank you for the advice, and she's going to be working on using the word stupid and trying to work on coming to agreements about decision making. So I was very impressed with that, and I told her so on the chat. So hopefully we made a little. Yeah, so and you know, the fact that she's taking it to heart and looking to work on it. Good for her. Very impressive.
Absolutely good for her.
Yeah. So, guys,
our main aim is to be useful with this darn guys thing that we do every week. And if when we are useful to somebody, we sure like to hear it because it gives us the motivation to keep going.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So we've got about 2 minutes to go. People want to sum up. Actually, you know what? We have several other questions from the chat that I think are very good questions that we didn't get to. So, you know, as usual with the Darn Guys show, there's more to talk about and more to deal with than we even have time for. So,
I give it another session.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Let's do it next week. We'll do the same.
Next week,
the same
continued.
Okay. Anybody want to sum up here what we've talked about today?
Yes. Yeah. I'll give it a quick shot. First point. And when a new serious relationship or marriage is forming, please include the issue of expectations as part of talking about our life, our future life together. Don't have any serious expectation that you have not shared with your partner out front, because it will bite you later on. It will bite you later on if it's a serious expectation. Second point is, at any point when you have a disagreement, such as the disagreement about the convertible versus the van, you need some kind of agreed-upon approach as to how you're going to go about discussing that. Third is, there may be expectations that you can't follow. In that case, there are consequences. And people need to be out front that you said that you'd repair the leak in the garage roof. You didn't do it. I said, if you didn't, I'm going to hire a carpenter to do it, and there he is outside working on the roof right now.
Okay, so that has to wrap it up. Yeah, consequences. That has to wrap it up because we've got just a few seconds to go. So we'll be back next week with part two of Fair and Unfair Expectations of Your Partner. And thank you so much for listening. And here's Megan Jo Wilson to take us away with Take Me Away.